Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Thank you for joining us at Table Talk. I am here with my daughter, Madison.
Hi.
And we are going to wrap up the last piece of studying God's Word. One of the ways to absorb God's Word. We have been talking about we need to first hear the Word of God. That's a passive action. And then we need to actively participate in reading it, studying it, memorizing and meditating on it. And so this is the study part, and we'll actually get a little bit into the meditating and memorizing as we speak about this today. So if you have one of our journals, we refer to pages 3 and 4. And if you're just going along in your own journal or on a composition notebook, which is perfectly acceptable and wonderful, we're going to just talk through these last 6 steps. We talked through the first 6 in the last 2 episodes. Go back and listen to them if you need a refresher. And then we're going to pack in 6, our last 6, all in this episode. So buckle up, buttercup. The first thing we're going to mention is the top of page 3. And it is actually 2 boxes side by side laid out horizontally. And it is where we are looking at who is God, what I am learning about God's character and attributes through this verse of study, and, oh, there's a cross in that box. And then in the other box right beside it is, who am I then in light of this verse? It's kind of, if God is, then I am. It is not a negative. It's not, well, if God's this, then I'm that. Mm-hmm. It's a positive to the fact that as daughters of the King of Kings, we have the ability to learn from Him, seek the Holy Spirit's guidance over us, and we're not comparing ourselves to God, but we are looking at how we are being empowered by Him and what attributes we have because of Him. So, I'll just share a few that I wrote down about who is God in light of this verse, Joshua 1:8-9. And the first thing I wrote down was, He is the law, because that's how our verse starts. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Well, God is the law. And then I wrote down, He is our guide, because that is what He was doing in this verse for Joshua. He was being the word, the law, the guide to the people. And then I wrote down that He's the commander. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just guide us and give us, here's great suggestions for success. He is commanding us what to do. And then I wrote down that He is victory, that the only way the people were able to achieve what they achieved and battled and fought and won as Israel was because He is victorious. And then the last thing I wrote down is just omnipresent. He is everywhere. Yeah. We can never hide from Him, outrun Him, or anything. So then what I now have realized from studying this, if He's the law, He's the guide, He's the commander, He's victorious, and He's omnipresent, then I go across from those and I'm like, well then, Paulette, who are you, or who are you able to be if you totally rely on Him? So if He is the law, then what can I be in light of that? And I wrote down that I can walk upright. And how I walk upright is by reading and studying and meditating and memorizing His laws.
Yeah.
And then when I wrote down that He is our guide, I wrote, I can follow his instructions. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I follow the instructions of a guide? I listen to him. And if God isn't speaking audibly to us, then we need to read his instructions.
Yeah.
And then when we, I previously mentioned he's the commander, then what I wrote down is then I need to listen and obey it. Yeah. I need to do it without doubt. I made, you know, triple lines underneath, do, don't, doubt. I think so often we receive something, we know we receive it, and then we're like, well, was that really God? Did God really say that? Was that really God? If you receive it from him while you're studying and reading his word, don't doubt it. Mm-hmm. That is the devil that's causing you to, now wait a second. If you're getting it while studying and praying the word of God, then do it. Listen to it and obey it. Mm-hmm. And then for victorious, I just wrote down, then I should be thriving. There is not a thing that I can't conquer and walk through with God around me, over me, before me, behind me, protecting me. Yeah. It can be hard. I can face hard things. He calls us to do hard things. He calls us to embody patience and faithfulness and trust so that others can look upon us and go, how are you walking through that fire? And we can say, because we have a good God. That's the only way I'm walking through this fire.
Yeah.
Our life is not going to be rosy and perfect, because then what would our testimony be? I always think about the word testimony. It starts with a test. So we're only going to be able to speak out of the tests that we have allowed him to be our strength in. Or what do we have to talk about?
That's good.
My life's rosy. Okay, great. Mine's not. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm a Christian. And they're like, oh, goody two-shoe for you. We have to be able to share our struggles and how God, the conqueror, has allowed us to thrive victoriously no matter our situation, mm-hmm. despite our situations. And then the last one, if he is everywhere, if he is omnipresent, then what I wrote down on the side with the smiley face that's about me is I wrote down, then I am never alone. I am never alone, mm-hmm. because my God is everywhere with me and around me. So I have refused to play the victim about, oh, I'm lonely. You know, I'm in an empty nesting stage of my life. A lot of people fall prey into the, what is my purpose? Or I'm all alone. The kids have left me. So now what am I? You are a daughter of the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. Your purpose hasn't changed. Find a new avenue of reaching out and communicating with others about God and his word. So that's just a little snippet of what you're going to be able to process with what is the verse saying my God is. Black and white. What is God saying he is in that verse? Mm-hmm. So then stop and say, well, then reflect on his character. Who can I be in light of that greatness? And that's all it is. Mm-hmm. And it always gives me like a shot or a boost or an energizing. It just ignites me to be, wow.
Yeah.
I have purpose because I have a God that's powerful. Okay. You can't be in the depths of despair and do that and not be like, you know what? Life's not quite as bad as it was before I thought
right.
about this.
Right.
Because it just helps you reset your perspective. That's all this is. It's a perspective shift, and it's a reminder that we don't have to be victimized by anything Satan tries to throw at us, because we are victorious in our God.
Yeah. Someone told me, I don't know, a couple years ago, when I was in a small group, and I don't even remember what I was going through. It was that lame.
Yeah.
But I remember voicing like, I just don't feel good enough. I don't feel prepared, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of in a negative space, which it's a safe space to talk sure. like that around trusted, accountable friends. I remember a lady older than I coming up to me afterwards and just saying like, I am not negating what you're going through. I'm not like trying to be negative or anything, but you know, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Amen.
And I was like, well, yeah. And she's like, okay, I want you to think about that. And she didn't say, she didn't push anything on me. And so then I went home and thought about it. And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
I have the God of the universe that has given me the gift of another presence of him living inside of me. I am not, I am different than him, but I have the power of God inside of me. I do not need, when I, you know, when I first did the who is God, who am I, it was negative. He is strong, I am weak. He is, you know, good, I am sinful. No, you have the Spirit inside of you. He has made you, just like Genesis, he has made you in his presence. Mm-hmm. So when you are made new and in him, you have all of that ability, potential. Are you using it? That's yes. up to you. But you have all of that ability and potential inside of you. And so, you know, you are not the same. One thing that I put is that he is a promise keeper.
Amen.
This verse is all about them keeping his promise to the Israelites. And so we should trust him.
Yes.
And know that, like in the episode that we talked about last Monday, no matter what happens, however long it takes mm-hmm. him, he will always fulfill his promise, and we need to always trust and wait in that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah, you have the Spirit inside of you. Don't get negative yes. when you're learning about him and who you are in him, not who you are without him.
Exactly. And it may be hard for you to write it down because you may have to vulnerably be honest with yourself and say, it's hard for me to write that down because I'm not tapping into the truth of who God says I am.
Yeah.
You may seriously still just be in the not able to see your worth, I guess I'll say it that way. And so what we are asking you to prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you is, what is your worth
mm-hmm.
in light of your wonderful God? And at the top of each of our journal pages, we have specifically a prayer or a verse. And on the top of this one, it is Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to renew your spirit to the potential
yeah.
that he has for you, and not for you to continue to just bring up all the pain or the lies or diminish your worth, because it's not about us, it's about God.
Yeah.
And like Madison said, we are made in his image. And it's only through him that we can tap into this. We can't do it apart from him.
Right.
So if you don't see a lot of worth or a value to you, and you may have to leave that blank for a while until you can really tap in, the question I would ask you is then, how often are you praying to your good God and reading and studying his word? Because the more you pray to him and read and study his word, the more you're going to realize, wow, I do have truth, worth, and potential
mm-hmm.
only through him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next box is basically a light bulb, and we really refer to it as revelation. And it is, however in this process, however along this journey, the Holy Spirit just shows you something, and that you literally just journal it and write it down. It can be something that, like Madison mentioned last episode about the match, mm-hmm. about that she just got this imagery mm-hmm. of the match. She could anchor that story right there in the aha,
yeah.
revelation light bulb. So she will never forget that that was revealed and declared over her life. So sometimes it literally is an analogy that was revealed. It might be another verse that you cross-reference to. It might be something from a commentary. A little while ago, I was mapping a verse. And another reason I love this spiral journal is you can go back and look at where you've been. So I was just looking back on other light bulb revelation boxes. And one of them was, I was literally praying at my table before starting my truth journaling, I was actually doing Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. And the verse was, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord. And my oldest daughter, Hillary, had a seemingly impossible prayer request from earthly eyes, but we know that nothing is too small for our great and mighty God. So I was literally at the table about to start on this truth journaling page and was praying this Isaiah 12, 1 and 6 and just saying, God, you are the joy. I draw my water from you. You are my well. Overflow your well and joy to Hillary, and I say and call upon you this day. I give thanks to you in advance, Lord. I'm calling upon you. I am making known your power and that you have the possibility that you will proclaim and you will be exalted from this answered prayer. And I sing praises to your name. I'm basically restating the exact verse I'm mapping in truth journaling and just saying basically to him, I know you're going to answer this prayer. It will be done. I didn't know when, but I was like, I just declare your goodness. And at my table, I have it written down. That's what this light bulb box is. Hillary texted me while I was proclaiming that. And all she said was, prayer answered. I'll call you later. And I mean, I was just bawling with tears. And I basically just wrote down, you know, you are so good. Sometimes I think we're like, oh, he does miracles. He did miracles. He still does them, ladies. Do we have the faith? Do we have the trust? Do we have the anointing of the Spirit that we believe that it can still happen? But anyway, that was my light bulb square. Mm-hmm. That, wow, God, you are good. So sometimes it's great and grand, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's literally something I read, which was, that's my light bulb box for Joshua 1, 8, and 9. I literally found something in Matthew Henry's commentary that I just was like, that's for me. And basically what I wrote is, Joshua is to make the law of God his rule. He is charged to meditate on it day and night, that he may understand it. And whatever the affairs of this world are, that's often what we have in our mind and in our emotions, and that's what we're acting about. Whether it's our job, our spouse, our family, our church, relationships, our finances, too often the affairs of this world is what our mind, emotions, and actions are all wrapped up in. But reading and studying Joshua 1, 8, and 9, all our mind, emotions, and actions should be wrapped up in is the Word of God. Mm. And so basically this was kind of a conviction, I guess I'll say, instead of it being like a, wow, aren't you a good God? I was like, wow, aren't you a good God?
Yeah.
Why do I allow the affairs of the world to keep me wrapped up? Mm-hmm. I need to continue asking for you to bind Satan and reading your commands and being commissioned by those commands and being obedient to those commands and just walk boldly in my faith like Joshua walked boldly in his and have disregard for anything else but the will of my God. Mm-hmm. So this little box was a little bit more of check yourself, Paulette.
Yeah.
Check yourself against the world's pull or the word's promise. So
yeah.
That's just, I was being very vulnerable there with y'all, but that's what I got this time.
I, one of the things that super stuck out with me, when I was reading in my NIV study Bible, it talked about the promised land, and how important that was for the Israelites and for, you know, the whole Bible unto us now, because that was
40 years.
The promise that God gave to these people, his people that were supposed to obey him and show the whole rest of the world who he was and how good he was. And they were not fulfilling their role and responsibility, obeying him, yes, loving him, following his commandments. And so he waited, and he waited them out. And that's a whole nother episode. But eventually, through Joshua, they get to enter the promised land, finally. And they called that the Lord's land, because he, through his power, he led Joshua and all of the Israelites, and he overcame all of the evil in the land to give the Israelites that specific land. And that kind of represented an earthly place of rest, which you read that verse in, was it 21?
Yes.
Joshua 21, about that was their rest.
Yes.
And so it was this earthly place of rest I read about in my study Bible. And so then when we look deeper, and I mentioned this last episode about how Joshua and Jesus are similar, and how Joshua leading the Israelites into earthly rest is a huge precursor of Jesus leading those people then, but also all of the people for the rest of eternity into an eternal rest through his life, death, and resurrection. So Jesus came to fulfill God's ultimate promise and plan of ultimate salvation against any evil and all evil, to now give us not just an earthly place of rest like he gave the Israelites, but an eternal place of rest. So no matter what happens, he will always be with us, and we have no reason to be afraid or fearful, but we can now be strong and courageous. That was a huge light bulb, and kind of like you're saying, that was awesome, but it also was kind of a convicting, are you content knowing that you are saved? You have this fulfillment of this promise. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You are going to rest eternally. And, you know, how are you living your life to display that? Because that...
Yeah, like, is he enough? Is he enough?
He has won everything. Yeah. He is victorious. We don't have to worry about anything.
That's so good.
And how are you living your life to display that? So anyway, that was an awesome...
So basically what I hope you're hearing is that is a box with a light bulb that is for you however you need to use it.
Yeah.
It's basically, and sometimes if you get there and you're like, I'm not getting anything, I go back and reread what I've done up until this point.
Right.
And if I'm still not receiving anything, leave it blank and do something else. But you'll know when you get something that you're like, I just need to anchor this here.
Yeah.
So that if I come back and look at this verse again, I want to remember what the Holy Spirit either blessed me with, promised me with, convicted me of, or just enlightened and made me more aware of. So it's really just a space for you. And then I'm going to jump across the page. Page 4, like I said, it's 75% of a box with a pencil. It is literally for notes. Explore and use this space to the best way you can to support your pursuit of God. You have the freedom to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to use it however. Use it from other verses of the Bible. Use it from commentaries. It might be something you heard in a sermon. Often when I'm reading a verse, because I'm doing it over weeks, Seth, my pastor, will preach something and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's like he knew what verse I was studying, so that I might bring home my notes page from the Sunday sermon and I might anchor some of the sermon there and put Seth and the Sunday he preached it. It literally, again, is just anything that you want to denote so that when you go back and look at the study of this verse, it just recalls and brings to your mind what it is you found that you want to lie there. And for me, it was literally Charles Swindoll, and I even gave him the page number if I ever wanted to go look it up, page 259. in my Charles Swindoll Study Bible, where he told us about you must allow the Word of God to shape and reshape your will. And then he told about how to absorb it: hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, which is what we've been talking about to you. Yeah. I literally wrote that all down. And then I wrote down something else he said: absorbing God's word is about our relationship with God. The more we hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, the deeper into relationship with God we become. Yeah. So again, if you're just kind of at a surface start of, well, I listen to sermons, I listen to podcasts, that's amazing. Yeah. But what Maddie and I are compelled to conversate with you all about is go deeper, yeah. Go deeper. And Seth actually preached a sermon not too long ago about becoming fully devoted. And he was talking about in scripture where it basically was saying how you walk into the water. Are you, first of all, are you on the shore? Or are you ankle deep in the water? Are you knee deep into the water? Are you thigh high into the water? Are you waist high into the water? Or are you really ready to become fully devoted to God and jump full in where the water's over your head? I'm going to drown. I'm going to drown. I'm going to drown. No, you're not. You are fully immersed in Him. He is your water, your living water. And that's where we can really dispel all doubt and mistrust. And it's not about us anymore. We fully surrender and we're like, okay, God, I'm all in.
Yeah, He's going to lead you where He wants you to go. You're just going to follow that flow and
absolutely. But anyway, I just want to, again, set your own goal. Set your own goal for how far do you want to deepen your relationship with God and what the Holy Spirit is revealing your next step to become fully devoted to Him. But that's a free space to use however you want to. Is there anything else, Maddie, you want to share about just how to use that free space or possibilities of what to write down?
One thing that I use the space for is when, like, we get together or something like that, I might make notes about what someone else got that that's I didn't so glean, something or, you know, like a resource. I know you gave me a resource that I want to look further into or, you know, some verses that when I spoke about one topic, you're like, oh, look at that verse. I think that's where that comes from instead of just. So that might be a space where when you get together with another, whether they're mapping the same verse as you or not, when they give you a nugget, which I usually, that light bulb revelation part is the part that I want to share so badly. This has changed my way of thinking, my way of, you know, understanding, and I want to share this so bad with someone. So then when someone else brings that to me, for whatever reason, they brought that to me. I might not understand it. That might not even be the verse I'm doing, but I'm going to write that down because that might come back and I might need that, or that might be for my time and they didn't even know it.
That is so,
so
good.
Sometimes I go back and some of these things are from other people, whether it's a sermon or a small group or a ladies' night that we've had. And I remember, like, that box is from from my friend, and I'm like, oh, that's so good. And, you know, it was on their heart and they spoke it, so now I want to write it down and give them that space. You know, that might impact my journey,
just to anchor it.
And so anyway, that
and
might
for
be
some
a
of you
spot.
That aren't able to be physically present ever in the room with us, that might be a box that you just anchor some of what you're receiving from this podcast, that you're like, questions that maybe we prompt you with, or maybe that's a box where you set your own goal that I'm going to encourage myself and set myself as a goal to X, and then go back and recheck that box and see how you are as far as you're meeting the goal that you set for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go back to, this is probably my favorite part of the four pages. And it's basically walk it out. It's the application part. Because if you're reading the Word of God and studying it and not applying it, then you've missed the biggest step.
Right.
So to walk it out, you really have to do the first two pages, even though there's not an order to it. You really have to write the verse down, do the keyword study, find the definitions, both literal, spiritual. You have to do the biblical context, whether that's the first thing you do or whatever. You have to anchor it in its time and place. And then look at your cross references, look at your keyword uses in other translations, look at who God is and who you can be in light of Him. I hope you've had some notes and commentary space time. And then basically when you get to the walk it out, which we have a 10 issue, it's the idea of thinking of three things, reflecting on the truth and all you've learned about this verse. It should be your call to action or change or both. So the first thing I always jot down in this rectangle is mind. How is this verse and what I've received through the study of it, is it impacting my own thoughts or my beliefs? How is the word impacting my own thoughts and beliefs? And I usually just write a bullet statement or two, and then I stop and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me, how is it going to change my heart, my emotions, and my affections? Because I need to continually ask myself if I am loving what God loves and hating what God hates. And so that includes my characteristics. I need to have the character of the things that God loves, and I need to get rid of and surrender and ask forgiveness for and dispel the things about myself that He hates. And then I write down, like, what is my action then going to be, either in word or deed? How is He changing, like, my will, my wants, my should do's? And again, it's convicting, it's confessing, it's expressing, but this is where we become transformed by the Word of God. We become more in the likeness of a Christ follower as an ambassador of Him, being trained in the truth. So there should be evidence of a wow. Mm-hmm. And we need to be obedient to whatever wow that is that He's telling us. And sometimes what I notice is He brings the same things to mind over a few verses. And when He does that, I'm realizing I haven't changed. So that's why I go to, okay, I'm going to map a new verse. And He's like, that's great. Keep mapping that verse. Guess what I still want you to change about your mind or your emotions or your actions? Same thing I told you last time. So sometimes I have to stop and go, if I'm not hearing something new, go back and look at the last time He told me something to change. Did I change? If not, I need to go back there and be obedient to the last thing He told me to do that I wrote down, and really search, soul search, and see if I've really embedded that.
Yeah.
And if we think about the Word of God as our spiritual diet, well, how often do you eat and drink? More than once a day, I hope. So that's what I think about meditating on God's Word. It needs to be more than once a day, because His Word is my spiritual diet, just like food and water is my physical diet.
Mm-hmm.
So Madison, how would you speak to the walk it out box for yourself?
When I think of the walk it out, I think of the sermon on Sunday.
Mm.
The preacher gets up there and usually, you know, reads part of the Bible. Hopefully they read part of the Bible. They give you some context. They explain some of the words maybe, but then they give you like action steps. Like, I don't know if your pastor does like, here's the three things you're going to learn today, or they just kind of tell you and you jot it down, or maybe you have the notes card that you get to fill in the blank, whatever it is. They like tell you things that you need to either be better at, be reminded of, come to Jesus with, confess, whatever it is, like, this is the thing, you know? So I feel sometimes after I've made it through the two pages of the verse mapping, and then I turn and I start truth journaling, it's like, all right, I could go up on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Let's go.
If they call me up there, like, I could preach, you know?
Yeah, just take your journal.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, how is it changing your mind? How is it changing your heart? Or how is it reminding you? Maybe you don't need like a big change, but you need a good reminding.
A charge. Yeah.
Like this is the way you go. Keep going.
Yeah,
you know, a good energizer, encouragement,
yeah.
a push.
Cheerleader.
This is right. This is right. This is right. God is reminding you this is the way, obey him, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's good.
So and then I also thought when I think about this is kind of going on to what I put for my mind and heart. It kind of just, what stuck out to me on one thing is the meditate. Mm-hmm. And my version says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. And when I looked up lips, it means your mouth and how you should read it, repeat it, speak of it, memorize it, which I know we're on a study block, but we have meditate coming up, and then meditate on it day and night. And how you were talking about the diet, spiritual diet versus your earthly diet. There's a verse in the Bible about how you should pray without ceasing.
Yes.
And I think also when we pray without ceasing, you know, sometimes we think of prayer as like we are coming to God with what we want, and we're like talking with him. But I think part of that should be like a meditate on him day and night. And we should pray without ceasing by meditating on his own words. Mm. And so this idea that you are speaking and thinking his law, commandments, yes. words back to him, just like
yes.
you mentioned
praying it for Hillary,
praying yeah. his own truth yes. back to him, his promises back to him. So when you're praying, meditating, memorizing, all of that's kind of in tandem,
absolutely,
to remember all the time. And it's like this conversation. So I think of Mickey, my husband, and I are having a conversation, whether it's in Walmart, at a restaurant, in the car, at the dinner table, whatever we're doing, we are having an adult conversation. And we know he's listening, whatever, but we're having a good conversation. And then old Mickey comes and he's like, oh, I need this. Oh, I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. Will you play with me? Look at this trick. And he's disrupting this conversation. But I don't just say, all right, peace out. I'm going to get distracted. Forever, I might go watch him. I might help him go to the bathroom, might get grabbing a bite to eat. But I come back to this ongoing conversation because I need to talk to my husband and we need to get down to the bottom. If I break that conversation forever, we are going to be totally lost on what our schedule is, what our plans are. And so I think of that with praying and meditating on the word. We should be having a conversation, listening, you know, from the Bible and talking back to him, meditating with God all the
yes,
time. We are having this conversation and the world is little Mickey. And, you know, you might have to go to work and you might have to have this conversation. You're driving to school, you're going to the groceries, but you still know in your heart and in your head, I'm having a conversation. This is a distraction. But I'm going to, you know, repeat
yeah,
this verse.
So
I'm going to
yeah.
do my breath prayer. I'm going to
yes.
read his Bible day and night. I'm going to listen to the, and I'm in this conversation.
Talk to him while you
forever.
Drive.
Forever.
Yeah. Yes.
And I might get distracted, but I'm always going to come back. You know,
yes.
that's what I think when I
that's
think of
so
that
good.
Meditate
yes.
day and night, pray
yes.
without ceasing.
The verse she referenced is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I think also with what Madison just wonderfully expressed, our conversation isn't always prayer asking.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that says, rejoice in evermore and give thanks. What I try to remind myself is to enter into a time of thankfulness and just like repeated blessings. It's not always about our burdens, like save me, help me, save them, help them. It should be finding a time in your conversation with him throughout the day to just go through your list of thanks that day. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you that I didn't get an accident while driving, because this has been a busy day. Instead of looking at it as, oh my goodness, the traffic was awful, flip it to, thank you, God, for keeping me safe in this busy traffic. Mm-hmm. It's all back to perspective again. Yeah. It's all back to perspective.
Change that mind, change that heart.
Yes.
And then when you change, kind of like the stair steps, when you change your mind and you change your heart, or you let him transform your mind and your heart,
yes,
your actions easily
follow.
Change.
Yes.
It's simple things. And when your mind and your heart are kind of at the forefront, you know, it's easier to do those things, yes, that you know you need to do.
Because you know the
you
power.
Want to do them.
You know where the power is coming from.
Yeah.
It's not from you. I will share something about my action statement that I got, and to show you how I got it from the study of Joshua 1, 8, and 9. I wouldn't have gotten it any other way. But when I was seeking and looking for, well, then what are you asking from me, God, to put into my steps? Mm-hmm. And I read in a commentary, it says, we honor the truth of God when we stagger not at the promise of God. And so I was reading past Joshua 1, 8, and 9, because that's what Maddie and I always want you to do. Read the verses, read before, read after, read the book if you can. But so if you go past Joshua 1, 8, and 9 into Joshua 10, it's where Joshua assumes command. The first verses, Joshua 1, 1 through 9, is where Joshua receives the commissioning. Mm-hmm. Because like Madison said, Moses isn't going, so Joshua's been commissioned. Well, starting in verse 10, now Joshua starts having to command the people. And so verse 10 says, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people, verse 11, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So in reading that, what stuck out to me, as you can tell by how I gave it emphasis, was Joshua is like, listen, people, you're going to pass through a bunch of gunk, mm-hmm, but you prepare yourself, because God has already promised your possession. So what I received from that is, Paulette, it doesn't matter what I am going to ask you to pass through. From today to death, you're going to pass through a lot of gunk. Mm-hmm. What I'm telling you is you're going to pass through it. Remember the verse that basically says, not when you will receive trials or if you will receive trials from Paul, but you will receive trials. Yeah. So, Paulette, you're going to pass through a lot of gunk. Prepare yourself now. And one way I do that is reading and studying, praying, meditating, memorizing. Mm-hmm. You're going to pass through it. Prepare yourself for it and take possession of my word. Take possession of my power. Take possession of my faithfulness. Take possession of my promise. Take possession of my peace. So basically what I got is, Paulette, you have no reason to not passionately continue, vibrantly, vocally walking out life, because you're going to pass through it in the preparation of your God and take possession of all that he has for you. Be continually on the search, but don't stop and wait until you get somewhere. You're going somewhere now. Mm-hmm. So basically, after I wrote all that down, in my Bible margin, I went back after verse 11, and I just wrote, Paulette, go, conquer, live. Don't wait for anything. There's not going to be some huge light up sign that says, Paulette, God wants you to do this. It's just do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Walk it out.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you guys is, what are y'all waiting on?
Yeah.
What are you all waiting on? You've got his power. You've got his promise. You've got his provision. He's telling you you're going to pass through it. Prepare yourself. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare yourself. which is all what Joshua 1, 8, and 9.
Right. How do you prepare yourself?
It's all about.
Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Girls, this is basically your life verse. This could literally be your verse on your mirror for the rest of your life. And I wrote down in my big note page, basically two small words only, be strong and very courageous. The Hebrew terminology used in these assurances has nothing to do with worldly wealth or success, mm-hmm. but has everything to do with accomplishing your mission, God's mission, and the keen insights you're going to receive from reading and studying and meditating on God's word is the only counsel from the Lord that you need. That is how we will not err and we will not fail, is because we are walking in the counsel of our Lord, which is God's word. So all we have to do is live it. We've got to read it, obey it, and live it, and resist the devil tempting us to be terrified by it.
Yeah.
Because he will want us to diminish and be terrified by life. But if we're like, bind Satan, get back, Jack, because I have the word of God, I'm obeying it and walking it out.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is like pep talk 101.
Right. Yeah, it's very encouraging.
This is like my husband, Maddie's daddy, coached. This is like the locker room speech.
Yeah.
This is like we all get in the huddle. We're down by 40, who knows? And he's like, here's how we're going to get out of this, guys. This is how we're going to win. And he gives us this verse.
Yeah, which is exactly, you know, back in the context.
Yep.
Their whole leader, the whole big.
Yeah. What happened to Moses?
Moses.
He's dead.
Is dead. And it's like,
all
right, guys.
What about the promise of God?
How are we ever going to get to the promised land? All right, Joshua, here's what you're going to do. Yep. And then Joshua just takes it and runs with yep. it. And looking, I mean, read his life or the summary of his yep. life. So strong and courageous, because he told him over and yep. over.
Three
and
times
over
he
again,
said, be strong and courageous.
Yeah. And he just kept meditating on that book of the law, the yep. law that Moses gave, that God gave Moses.
Yep.
I know this is what I got to do. This is how I'm going to get there. This is how the people are going to.
God will
saved.
Not fail. God will
We're
gonna not
be
fail.
Victorious if we stay in his presence, if we stay right here. And they put that book of the law right by the Ark of the Covenant, knowing God is and his law is
here
with us wherever we are. And Israelites are gonna take whatever land and
back to the omnipresent.
That's what we can do.
He's
we can
everywhere
do too.
We are.
Yeah.
And then the last part of this truth journaling, which we're saying it really fast, it takes days. Weeks. We're just hitting highlights because we want y'all to get going yeah. and not wait on us to explain it.
Yeah. Take your time.
Yes. Months. Oh, I don't know if I ever said this, but when I first start a verse and write it down, I put the date just so when I finish and I write my ending prayer with the little prayer hands, I also put the date. And that way I can go back and just go, that took me a month. That took me a month and a half. That took me 2 months.
Yeah.
Or I may get to the point where that only took me 3 weeks. It doesn't matter. But it does remind me how long I sat and marinated in the word of mm-hmm. God. But the very last box at the end with little prayer hands is literally a prayer to reflect, praise God, thank him, sit in stillness, listen to him, confess, write down some questions. But just take whatever inspiration you've received from this verse and just prioritize what in this pursuit you received or you still have to go. Maybe you received a purpose. You want to thank him for that. But you just do you in that prayer. That's very personal to you. I literally always start it with Heavenly Father, comma, and I always end it with, I love you, Paulette. Just like I would be writing like a letter to God. And it's just very personal to me, to him, from me to him. And it's just amazing. And what I like to do is I like to go back and look through all of the studying that I have done. And it's almost just like a little postcard, just a quick snippet glance of just what I want to remind myself that I received from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to share one line of mine. I just wrote, I will not be cracked, for you, the Lord my God, are with me wherever I go. And I got that word cracked because one of the words I did isolate was dismayed, which Madison talked about, because she got to dismayed from her translation, which was discouraged. Well, my translation started with dismayed. And when I looked it up, it was kophoph, which means to be shattered, broken, or cracked. And I just saw that example of, like, if something is cracked, like I was thinking, like back in the Bible times, it would have been like a piece of pottery, like a piece of clay. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to carry their water from the well back to their house, or if they have olive oil or whatever that's going to be in that pitcher, that clay pot, it can't have a crack. Yeah. Or as they're walking back from the well, the water's going to come out. And so I thought to myself, what is important about not being cracked, like not being dismayed? And in the context of that, I thought, if we ladies allow one crack, what we are giving is the devil space. Mm-hmm. We're giving him a little fissure. No matter how narrow or wide that crack is, we're giving him an entrance into our mind, our emotions, our actions. And what happens if there is a visible crack and you put something in there and you start messing around with whatever you've put in there, like maybe a knife into the side of a crack in a pot? It's going to break open even more, or maybe split in two.
Yeah.
So what I prayerfully reminded myself at the end was basically, Lord, I refuse to be cracked because I don't want to give Satan a millimeter, anything of my life, my mind,
that's good,
my heart, my actions. So I'm refusing to be cracked.
That's good.
And I do that by staying in the Word of God and staying in community with other Christian women that are going to keep me accountable. But we are so excited for you guys to continue in the pursuit, continue in the journey wherever you are in this, or start it. And just a shout out, I want to say hello on this podcast episode to my oldest sister, Pam. She lives in Tennessee, and she's tuned into this podcast. And she reached out to me and said, listen, I don't have the ability to get to Northwest Arkansas to join y'all in one of your on-sites, but you had said in one of the episodes that if you know somebody, reach out to them and see if they can get you a journal. So she texted and said, I want you to mail me a journal. So I put it in a bubble wrapped envelope and I dropped it in the post office today and priority mailed it to her. And so she should have it on the Monday next that she can jump in and start using our journal for her Bible study in addition to what she was already doing. So we are that sincere. If you want this so badly, or if you want to just use the aspects of this with your own notebook, that's great. But literally, if we know who you are and we can get you one, even if I have to put it in a priority mail envelope, we will get you a journal if you really want to do it in the format we're doing it in. But Madison, anything else you want to say about this whole process of the verse mapping or truth journaling before we get into something else on our next episode?
This, like you talked about, I drew a little picture while you were in my notes section.
Ooh.
While you were talking about absorbing. We've been talking about ways to absorb God's word. And I think about right now, we moved into a new house and we have literally no grass. It's just dirt. And it just rained for the first time in forever. And we had to like pre-water it before the rain, or it would just get flushed because it's too hard. The soil is too hard. And so in order for us to eventually grow anything, you know, the ground has to absorb that water. And so I think about, you know, this process is really, I mean, just like he said, it's absorbing God's word, letting it just go into every crack and crevice of you, your mind, your actions, your heart, your will, your wants, your desires, your everything, and just seep in that living water. And so then, you know, after we talk about the next two things, and we, instead of absorbing, we're actually talking about, like, you know, other things.
Yes.
Eventually we're going to have things that bloom and grow from us, but we cannot bloom unless we're absorbing the right things that are going to help us grow. And so when you talked about preparing, that's what we're doing. We're preparing, and it's going to take a while. Just like the grass, it's probably not going to grow until next year.
And it can't stay hardened.
We are preparing, and we're absorbing, and we're getting ready, and we're getting ready to bloom. And we want to just grow in where we are. That I just thought of that.
That's so good.
Encourage you guys. Don't get discouraged in the wait and in the process. Just stay in pursuit, and it gets fun.
Yes.
It's exciting. I hope you guys are excited when you get into it and start doing it and start sharing and find what works for you.
Yes, and find someone to talk about it with.
Yeah,
and so that's
the prayer.
That's the prayer we have for all of you, is to, in pursuit of him, he meets you where you are and takes you further than you thought you could ever go.
Yes.
And by it impacting you, the word of God impacting you, you will have the ability to impact others. So thank you, Madison, for being at my table. And ladies, we love you so. Remain in pursuit. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.